name of All Right, a classic from 33P, a cutoff their album, live from the Shady Oaks Retirement Center. I'm Johnny Drangerson. Welcome to WFUQU on a Tuesday morning, 6:05 on the FUQU clock. Welcome back to me. I'm back for my stint over there at WSHIT, our sister television station. If you haven't already heard, I'd like to formally apologize for some of my behavior on the last 3 days of my employment. I think I've written all the apology letters I can write, quite frankly. But, you know, once again, Judy, I apologize. I had no idea she was your daughter. No idea she was in high school. It was the company Christmas party. What can I say? But hey, listen, on to greener pastures. Let's check traffic and weather. On the weather front, it's minus 16 degrees. Feels like minus 32. That's fucking cold. I'm going to tell you that right the fuck now. Got to bundle up. It's going to be a witch's tit out there. We're expecting snow, but not the kind from the sky, if you know what I mean. I'm off probation. I'm down at the station. Bring some libations. I'll be here all afternoon. 6:05 in the morning. You know what that means. It's time to check the FUQ. UU traffic. On Main Street, there's a one-car pileup that snarled that inner city loop right there. You know, you want to add in a little extra time if you're driving, biking, or walking to work like I do. And in other news, Mr. Jackson has been lost again, going outside to look for his newspaper without his rope, and it's very cold outside. So if you see a naked 92-year-old man walking down the street without his newspaper, give us a call here at station. It's 1-800-WFUQU. Okay, all right, 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what that means. It's time for a little TCB. That's right, the Morning Zoo crew coming in here. Brian and Hadley, or whatever her name is, gonna start the new year off right for you. They'll be back right after this commercial break.
I'll tell you what we're gonna have to do.
Well, Jazz Odyssey.
We're not going about to do a free-form jazz exploration in front of a festival crowd.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Look at this. We're in the brand new TCB studio for season number 3.
I know. I look so good.
This is legit, man. This is legit. You got to check it out. YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. You got to remember all the stuff. You have to check out the brand new studio put together by my wife, really, and then Chrissy and I helped drill holes all over my house, which now looks like fucking Swiss cheese. Give me a chance. Like, give me a chance to say goodbye. Don't let me die of the Widowmaker.
Yeah.
So I get out there and I'm trying to run because I'm afraid of the Widowmaker, and I figure if I get these legs pumping some blood up to my heart, that I won't die of the Widowmaker. But my legs don't want to cooperate, Chrissy, because I'm not a 3-year-old child being thrown around a room doing flips upside down and sideways.
Yep.
With my flexible legs. It's unbelievable.
It's all those years of hard living.
I didn't live hard.
All those days at the pool.
All those sun-drenched days at the pool. You mean to tell me the 26
Uncle
Bud Lights
Brian.
Uncle Brian. That's what they used to call me, Uncle Brian. And not in the cute way, in the like, stay away from your daughter kind of way. Uncle Brian. He's on his 22nd Bud Light. You might want to keep your daughter away. So 2 weeks later, she called me at the Chili's, and I called her. She had broken up with her fiance.
Oh, wow.
I called her back.
That's
she literally pulled up in her pink Cadillac from Mary Kay.
She was doing well then.
Yeah, she was doing well. We went to the
went
to the Overlook and we made love.
Okay.
She never called me again.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yo!
Hey!
Hi!
Season 3!
Whee!
Whee!
We're back!
We're back after an extended break. COVID and winter storms and Christmas and Hanukkah, New Year's.
Kwanzaa.
Miley Cyrus's tits at least 3 times over the holidays. I saw Miley Cyrus's tits. I don't know about you. Call me up on the tit counter hotline, 661 Best to Yo. How the hell are you?
I'm good.
God damn, Brian. What a long break.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like it was a long time?
It has.
Look at this. We're in the brand new TCB studio for season number 3.
I look so good.
This is legit, man. This is legit. You got to check it out. YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. You got to remember all the stuff. You have to check out the brand new studio put together by my wife, really, and then Chrissy and I helped drill holes all over my house. which now looks like fucking Swiss cheese. The resale value of my house goes down with every hole that we
drill.
You were
on a ladder up there.
I was.
Horribly, I was holding.
Yeah, scared of heights. On one leg with another leg up in the air. Drilling a hole in these vaulted ceilings in the top of my thing. But man, I think it looks really nice. After it's all said and done, we had our tech guy, who's a remote tech guy, Matthew, called me up yesterday so that we could put all of this together. Now no longer are there millions of wires running around the studio that don't serve a purpose. Now there's even more wires that all serve a purpose. I don't know.
Yes, there's more room for the wires.
There is more room for the wire. More room for the wires and more room for my growing stomach after the holidays. I've gained back almost all my salmonella. But well, I think it looks good. Look, here, I'll turn it on the Chrissy cam. Let's turn it on the Chrissy cam. Hi. There's the Chrissy cam.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Let's turn it on the me cam. Hey. It looks like
I'm in the dark.
It looks like we're in a closet. Still got a few kinks to work out. But thanks for joining us. Welcome to the commercial break. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you,
and
Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us on the first episode of season number 3. Now, it's been 4 weeks almost exactly to the day. 4.5 weeks, actually, I think. 4 weeks? 4.5 weeks?
Yeah.
Since Chrissy and I were in the studio recording live, we had not intended to take such a long break. But like the rest of the universe, we had been affected by COVID because Chrissy
got
the COVID.
The whole house got it right at Christmas.
Yeah, she got Omicron. How's that Omicron?
Brian had to go pick up my honey-baked ham for
me. I did, which was an interesting experience.
And drop it off.
By the way. Like
he left it outside the car door as I ran down.
I had my son in the car. And he's like, Chrissy. And I'm like, I know, we don't touch Chrissy. Don't touch Chrissy. Yeah. And Chrissy.
You cracked the window.
And Chrissy is like radiation, son. You don't touch her. I literally threw the honey baked ham on the sidewalk and was like, Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. And away we go. The funny thing about the honey baked ham. So Chrissy calls me up. When did you get 23rd?
We got it the 23rd.
You got the notification on the 23rd that you had Omicron.
I felt okay on that day, but it was the 24th. And when I really started feeling bad.
Yeah. It knocked your dick in the dirt, but just for a day. Well, and no, knock your clit in the dirt for today.
No, it was for a few days. Yeah, aches, headache, all the stuffiness and everything. But we're all recovered now, thank God.
And thank God for that. Thank God for that, because there's still a lot of people who are being hospitalized by the whole thing, and especially children. So we, you know, I hear you. I kind of in my heart, I want Omicron. That's what I want, because I'm, you know, I'm boosted and I'm vaxxed and all that other stuff. And I figure I'll survive it, even though I'm a little bit up there in age to get to be 66 now. But I figure I'll survive it and then I can just be done with it.
Yeah.
And this is kind of
a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah,
I think
this is kind of the prevailing thought amongst my friends, most of which who've been very careful throughout the pandemic for one reason or the other. You know, family members are not because of themselves necessarily, but because of the people around them.
Yeah. That's why we were always so careful.
Yeah, me too. And because of the kids, you know, they who knows what the long lasting effects of coronavirus are on children or on people in general. But you call me on the 23rd. On the 24th, I stupidly volunteer. I say, hey, listen.
Do you need anything? Yeah,
let me go.
Actually, I do.
Let me go. And I'm going to go. She goes, can you pick up a honey baked ham? Have you ever been to a honey baked ham on a fucking Christmas Eve? It's like hell. It's like going to the Walmart.
You're a true friend, Brian.
It's like going to Walmart on Black Friday. You goddamn right I am. Because first of all, this honey baked ham is in a location I've never seen a honey baked ham. It's like on the corner of the, it's straight up one of the worst parts of it. It's horrible. I know. And it's literally.
You mean the most traffic parts of Atlanta?
Yeah, traffic. Yeah. By traffic, I mean sex traffic. Yes, it's in the red light district. What are you talking about? The Northwood Hills area? Oh, jeez. No. It looks like it was in an old Asian massage parlor. That's all.
Oh, okay. I don't know. We've never even been. I never even get a honey baked ham, but this year we were like, "Well, what are we going to do?"
Thank God, you gave you sandwiches for a week.
We couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we.
How much honey baked ham did you eat?
We still have some.
Do you really?
Still, it's frozen. But yeah, I mean, we could only eat so much of it after like day 4. I was like, no more ham.
Cockroaches and cockroaches and honey baked ham are going to survive.
We ordered like a really large one too for some reason.
It was huge. So I drive up with my son and they have not one, not two, but three different people that are directing traffic in and out of the honey baked ham.
Sure.
And because there's no place to park, literally, right. I think this was an old Jack Shack. And so it was like they had the parking was all in the back. And, you know, everybody's just trying to kind of maneuver around this 13 space place. And there's a line out the door wrapped around the building.
Yeah, they had specific times that you had to go. I think they tried to organize it, but
I will say this. Once I got into the Honey Baked Ham, they did a good job of getting me the ham like quickly once I got up to the counter.
Yeah.
But and then everybody in there. You know, the world's so divided these days because of whatever bullshit, right? And it mostly has to do, I think, right now at least, the omnipresent thing to be angry at other people about is whether or not you're wearing a mask, right? Some people are angry with you if you're wearing a mask. Some people are angry if you're not wearing a mask. At the Honey Baked Ham, this was playing out seven spade. And what I mean by that is there was, when I got up to the door, there was a guy who was waiting there, but he was standing outside the door. It's freezing fucking cold. He's standing outside the door and there's a line inside of the store, but he's there. The person, the last person in line is probably a good 14, 15 feet from the door.
Okay.
Right. And I said, oh, are you waiting? He goes, I am. But you know, with this new variant, I don't want to get crazy. So I'm staying outside. He's not wearing a mask.
Oh.
And I was like, well, I don't want to be rude or anything. I don't want to point out the obvious. But I get, you know, what am I going to do? And I got to get my kid in my hand. Even my kid's wearing a mask. I don't got my kid in my hand. So he then waits for another. There's, let's call it 30 people inside waiting for a Honey Baked Ham. There's plenty of room to get inside and stand in line and still keep your distance. But this guy waits for an additional 15 people to leave out the door before he then walks in to stand in line.
He proceeds.
Still without a mask. And I'm like, I can't believe this. And he's one of those guys who, like, when he's talking to you, he's getting ever closer. He's like, so what are you doing for Christmas? Have you heard about this Omicron variant? And I'm like, dude, stay away. What do you guess I have back heard about up. It? It's in the back of your throat. You asshole, stay away from me. I get the Honey Baked Ham. We get in the car. We drive over to Christy's house. It's Christmas Eve, mind you. And I don't really know what the protocol is for dropping off a Honey Baked Ham at a friend who has Omicron. So I pull up to a very highly trafficked part of her apartment complex, condo complex. Yes. And I literally throw the ham out the window onto the sidewalk.
I came down. And I'm like, it was on the sidewalk.
The ham is outside.
Yes.
The ham is outside. Meanwhile, I'm waiting for someone to steal a ham because, you know, I live in the burbs now. So when you live in the burbs, everything's terrible down in the city of, when you live in the city of Atlanta, everything's terrible out in the burbs. When you live in the burbs, everything's terrible in the city of Atlanta.
Sure.
Right. And I'm hearing about these, you know, all these people breaking into everybody's cars and taking everything. So I'm like, surely this honey baked, please let Chrissy come out quickly, because if the honey baked ham gets stolen off the street, I'll be responsible for $100.
I put on like a N95 mask and the whole
you had
thing,
three on
sunglasses. Yeah. Glasses, just in case it's coming out my eyes.
She had a hoodie on backwards.
Everything.
Two eyes cut out. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas to you. What did you guys do for Christmas? Like, what was the thing that you did?
We stayed in bed. We stayed in bed, watched Netflix and shows because.
Isn't that boring after a hot minute? Like, isn't there only so much Netflix that you can wear?
Yeah, but I mean, you're sick. So what are you gonna do? But it's okay, like when you normally get sick.
Yeah, but you're sick for two of the 10 days that you were in quarantine, right?
Well, no, we were sick for about 5 days.
Oh, you were? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't think it lasted that long. I thought it was like 2 days of really
it
not
feeling.
I know Jeff fared worse than you did.
Yep.
Yeah, it's because he's an old man like I am.
We all had it differently. One of our daughters had absolutely no symptoms at all and had it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the young kids, they can take it.
I mean, it's.
It's young kids, they can take anything.
Yeah.
You know what amazes me about young children? Is how they can take anything. Like, I'll throw my daughter across the room onto the bed and her leg will literally flip behind her ear and she'll bounce face first into the back of the wall. And she thinks it's funny.
I know. Oh,
meanwhile,
kids,
me getting out of bed in the morning, I'm like, my knee, my heart, my ass, my eyeballs. I
know. My sister with her two boys, they just flip and all over the place.
The flexibility, the durability. The pure brashness of those children. And it just reminds me every day of how fucking old I am. Cause I'm like, I can't even, like, I went on a run for the first time in like 2 months, for no particular reason, except it's busy. It's the holidays and it's a busy time. And I do like to run when I get a chance. So my friend calls me, says, hey, meet me. Let's go for a run. The second that I got out of the car, my knee started hurting. Like, my knee was hurting just thinking about it. My knee was like, hey, dude, don't do it.
Please don't do it.
We're not 12 anymore. And I'm like, I know, but I got to check out the heart. The heart's on its own, man. You can't rely on that shit. You're going to die of a grand. What I'm afraid of is dying of one of those, you know, Bob Saget died, right? And
yes,
so that made me think
so
he's so young. He was like, what, 65 or something? 64, 60.
Yeah,
I can just keep
60s.
On going down until I guess the right age.
Early
63,
60s,
62. Okay. So everybody apparently loves Bob Saget, which
yes.
I did not know. Listen, I like Bob Saget as much as the next guy, but I wasn't particularly emotionally attached to him.
There were a lot of people that were, though.
A lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of people came out. Like Dave Chappelle is like, you know, running around the country hosting, you know, backroom comedy shows about Bob Saget. And who knew? Now, I knew Bob Saget's whole thing was, I'm the most wholesome father on television. And when I get you in an audience inside of a comedy club, I am absolutely
going
to destroy you with mentions of the underside of my balls. Right.
Yes.
I mean, he just was he was so blue. It wasn't even funny. He was funny, actually. He was pretty funny. That was his whole thing. But what I didn't understand was how deep his connections went into the world of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I just didn't think of Bob Saget
either.
Like that. Here's the strange thing. So you remember that fireside thing that we were doing in season two?
Yes.
Amongst all the other things that we've done that have come and gone? I promise you, we're going to stop that shit. We're going to stop telling you we're going to do shit we're not going to do. Fireside, we were on this for a moment. And listen, we might still go on it.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying we're not doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got bigger fish to fry. We got to figure out why Chrissy looks like she's in a closet every time I put on her Chrissy cam. Let's put on the Chrissy cam for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you look really dark in that. YouTube.com/thecommercial.
We need a couple more lights.
We do.
That's okay.
So Bob Saget passes away, and then I remember the only interaction, and I had an interaction with Bob Saget, was on Fireside.
Oh, okay.
Bob Saget did a show on Fireside. Now, only did one show.
I saw that they did like a replay of that, too.
They're always replaying it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like you can just go on there. You can go to Fireside Chat, download the app, and then Bob Saget did one episode of a podcast that he was a co-host on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called like, What's Your Problem? And
you
come up and you'd say what your problem is. And then, you know, they talk about it. So I was up on the stage with him for like 50 seconds. Right. I said something and they went off on a tangent and then they asked the next question. Bob was very funny and he seemed very sympathetic and empathetic to everything that was going on in everybody else's life. Everybody is talking about how much they loved Bob Saget, about what, I mean, some people are like, he's the best human that I ever knew. Do people say that shit every time that someone died? Like, are people going to say that about me, do you think?
I hope so.
I'll say too. Well, thank you.
I'll say it.
But do you think the whole comedy community is going to come out and talk about me being the best guy they ever knew? Do you think Chris Rock is going to show up and start doing underground
I'll
comedy shows?
I'll contact him and see if he will.
So Bob dies at and listen, he died at a Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
So at least the guy wasn't like, you know, in the Holiday in on the road, right?
Right.
He was doing sellout shows to, you know, medium-sized comedy places. He died at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando, which is a very nice place, but in of a heart attack.
Yeah.
And they said that they found him and that he probably was sleeping, but that he was clutching his chest, right, with his left hand, which apparently is it's a sign that's how you went.
Yes.
That's the heart attack sign.
Right.
What they call it is a widowmaker heart attack. You have lots of different kinds of heart attack. My grandpa died of one of these. It's just in an instant.
Yep.
Just die, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your heart just stops for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that I look at my children, I think, please don't let me die of the widowmaker.
No.
Just don't let me die of the widowmaker,
no.
Right? That's all I just give me a chance. Like, give me a chance to say goodbye. Don't let me die of the widowmaker.
Yeah.
So I get out there and I'm trying to run because I'm afraid of the widowmaker. And I figure if I can get these legs pumping some blood up to my heart, that I won't die of the widowmaker. But my legs don't want to cooperate, Chrissy, because I'm not a 3-year-old child being thrown around a room doing flips upside down and sideways with my flexible legs. It's unbelievable.
It's all those years of hard living.
I didn't live hard.
All those days at the pool.
All those sun-drenched days at the pool. You mean to tell me the 26 Bud Lights,
Brian.
Uncle Brian? That's what they used to call me, Uncle Brian, and not in the cute way, in the like stay away from your daughter kind of way. Uncle Brian, he's on his 22nd Bud Light. You might want to keep your daughter away. Who's Brian talking to over there? College girls. Oh, he's gonna break one of their hearts. Yeah, he's gonna break one of their hearts. I think they, you know, I lived hard there for a minute. You know, that cocaine and LSD I did is taking a toll on his heart in my old age. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that all of that hard, the years that I was partying hard.
Yeah.
Which is only from, you know, it wasn't a long period. It's like from 20s. 14 to 38. I was doing great. I mean, who doesn't do a half a gram of blow every 6 hours for 22 years? Who doesn't?
You were in the norm.
Who amongst us didn't take 10 hits of Jesus Christ acid the first time they ever did acid?
Sunny, sign up!
I'm glad that you're over the Omicron. I'm glad that you made it through. You like a trooper.
All recovered. Yeah.
This all goes back to Chrissy and I had only intended to take off 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just 2 weeks. We're going to take off 2 weeks. We're going to run a couple of episodes that we had in the can. And then we were going to, move on and get on to season number 3. But then COVID hit and Chrissy got sick for a period of time. Yeah. We got delayed doing the studio because people in our circle then had COVID. It just kind of was a snowball. And then literally a snowball happened yesterday. It delayed us yet another day. You know, Atlanta doesn't get a lot of snow, case you don't know, in case you haven't figured that one out. Atlanta doesn't get a lot of snow. We've had a couple of huge snow events where people get trapped for like days in their house without power
or in their car.
That's right. And yesterday I had kind of anticipated that that's what was going to happen. Actually, that's what they made it sound like. The news people around here get fucking crazy every time that there's a goddamn snowflake that's going to come down. You know what I'm saying?
People storm the grocery stores.
This Snowmageddon 2022 brought to you by Home Depot and Kroger. Buy your milk, get your wood now. Who needs milk? Who needs milk? Is milk the first thing you reach for?
No.
No, you reach for the booze, right?
Yes.
And I reach for the water or frosty, Coca-Cola or whatever it is. But every time that there's a snow event.
Yeah, milk and bread.
Milk and bread. People go out. They raid the shelves. It's already a
toilet
desert
paper.
Out there because of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, the toilet paper. You can't find a fucking roll of toilet paper around here to save your life.
Astrid and I were talking about it. That's not actually, you don't need to live.
You don't need toilet paper to live.
Yes.
You don't need toilet paper. If everybody would just take one container of toilet paper, we'd all be able to wipe our asses and be clean for the other human beings around us.
Yeah.
But you jerk offs got to go and buy 34,000 rolls of toilet paper for what reason?
Crazy.
Are you going to burn it if it gets hot? Are you going to eat it if you get hungry? Are you going to use it as a condom if you run out of rubbers? The truth is, you don't need that much toilet paper. Your ass is not that dirty. And if it is, toilet paper should be the last of the things you're using to wipe your ass.
Exactly.
Get in a shower like the rest of us do. God's toilet paper, water, and some herbal essences shampoo. That's how I do it. Take my advice.
Yeah, in a pinch.
People get crazy. Well,
then there's the supply chain things too.
But But when we are going to get snow here, it's like 7 days ahead of time. You get that little snowflake on your fucking weather app, this town's about to go fucking crazy.
Then they start talking about it. There's going to be snow. There's going to be snow. There's going to be snow.
What's his name? Glenn Burns?
Yes.
Glenn Burns.
Yes.
Who's a local famous
weathercaster
here. He's been on here since 1922. Yeah. The guy's been in, he was on the talkies. You know what I'm talking about? The guy was doing weather when they didn't have sound on the movies.
Silent films.
Oh, Glenn Burns.
He has been on a long time.
And he's got to get rid of that toupee. That thing is awful. Just let it fly, Glenn. I love you, but you just got to. He's one of those guys who's got the toupee that's colored a weird.
Yeah.
Like, you ever seen an acoustic guitar? You know the color of the acoustic guitar? That's how his hair looks. It's like a dull orange that no human in their 80s has a hair color. But Glenn does. Just on the top, though. And on the side, it's purely gray, right?
Yeah.
So it's either just for men. I think it's a bad toupee, actually. But Glenn Burns gets on, and he's supposed to be the experienced weatherman.
Yes, he is. He's the top dog.
Who gives us, he's the top dog in the city. He's the guy everybody goes to. He's the guy you trust, right? You don't trust that Chesley, whatever his name is, on the other channel. I like Chesley, too, but he's only been here for 42 years. Glenn's been here for 72.
He's the baby.
Right? And then who's Chris Holcomb, right? The other guy on the other station right there. Chris looks like a baby, even though he's 97 years old. He looks like he just came out of his mom's vagina, right? I don't trust a guy who looks younger than my son, who's 3, right? Just saying. So you go to Glenn, you turn on that channel, and you go to Glenn, and you say, okay, Glenn, give me the straight shit. And Glenn, you know, he makes it sound like he's keeping his head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
He but he's piping just the same bullshit everybody else is. He's like, well, on Friday, 2 weeks ahead of time, I see a snowflake on there. Could be a small chance of snow. Start digging a bunker.
Get your supplies.
Send your children to grandma's house in California. Certain disaster awaits. This weather report brought to you by Home Depot and Kroger.
It's true.
It's always brought to you by somebody, right?
Yes.
They plan this shit. And we know this because we worked in radio. Mm-hmm. When the weather gets bad, run my ads. That's what they do. That's how they do it. Because they know that
people
there's going to be
listening.
Demand. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody goes out and they buy all the shit they never needed. I was at Home Depot. We were building the studio. I was at Home Depot.
We went to Home Depot one day, too.
We did go to Home Depot together. I thought we did a good job.
We did.
You want to test a friendship? Go to Home Depot together.
That's true.
Yeah.
We did.
I know.
We're buying loose screws and chains.
Yeah, we have
and
no idea.
Things.
By the way, all of them are still sitting over there. Didn't use one of them. Actually, we used one thing. So I go to Home Depot by myself to go get whatever. You know, it's a million trips to Home Depot.
Wood.
Yeah. I don't know. I know. We're buying like a rope or something. I don't know. But I go there and I park in the parking lot and I'm getting out of the car. And as I'm getting out of the car, I see a rather pudgy, portly man. He's probably in his 60s, white guy, balding, right? He's got a tummy that, I mean, just says, screams.
Santa?
Michelob's best, right?
Michelob's best.
Break out the Hellman's and break out the best. He doesn't have a beer gut. He's got a Hellman's gut. You know what I'm talking about? Guy's been having corned beef and ham, corned beef sausage for too long. Anyway, guy, he's on the other side of the parking lot. He parks in the back of the parking lot in his Dodge whatever, 4180. And he's 4180, and he's running, Hody, running across the parking lot. You know,
not
belly
a light jog.
Bounce, no, not a
it
jog.
It was a run. Full
he
blown
is
run.
Running at yeah, like I don't know, like it was you know free lap dance night at fucking Cheetah or something. He's just going for it. He's running.
Yeah,
hit that belly just bouncing in all its glory. He's got that little you know the little scrundle belly just hanging out right on below his shirt, mm-hmm. and he's running toward the pile of wood. Outside the Home Depot. Now, the pile of wood outside of Home Depot is 7 feet high. No, there's not a chance that this guy isn't going to get to some wood. There's no one threatening. There's no one putting in a full court press.
He had to be sure.
He had to be sure that he got the best wood. And when he got there, he was like, and he's just like, he's looking at the wood. He's picking it up. I'm like, dude, what's the fucking difference between wood? You're going to burn it. What are you doing? You're making sure there's no scars on your wood?
Perfect
yeah.
wood.
He's got to have the perfect wood. For the first time in Bob's life, he's got the perfect wood.
Yeah, exactly.
His wife's been looking for the perfect wood for 42 years yeah. also. People get fucking bananas in this town.
Yeah.
Over fucking snow. So snow then delayed us a little bit more. So I'm wrapping this all back to say that we took off a lot more time than we intended to. We thank you for listening to 8 episodes of the commercial break, The Lost Tapes. I was struggling to put the last two together.
The
I got to be honest
tapes.
With you. I didn't know what else to call them. You know, I know it's not an original idea, but I was struggling, Chrissy. I was like, we're really running out of material
yeah.
here that we can run. If we have to run any additional material, it's going to be super offensive.
Right. Because we would record some episodes and then just be like, no.
We recorded one episode.
One stands out in my mind.
One stands out in my mind, too.
Terrible.
So I'll tell you about it, but we're not going to get too
into
it. Is
that the one about the sex babies
yes,
or whatever?
Sex babies. Sex babies. Well, this episode just went to Cantu. There is a fetish out there that is mainly men that like women that act like infants. They dress up like
up
infants.
Like
they shit in diapers. They piss in diapers.
Yeah,
they
it's
take
really
formula.
Weird.
It's really weird. At first,
we decided to do a whole episode.
A whole episode. We thought this was,
I felt so uncomfortable.
I thought this was so funny when I started like actually downloading the video. I was like, God damn, this is gold, man. We're going to have so much fun with this. We got 13 seconds into that.
Like,
and
I
both
can't.
Chrissy and I were uncomfortable. We were like, I don't know about that joke. I don't know if I'm going to make that joke. Because it's a sexualized fetish. And so what you realize is that it's actually a gentleman who wants his partner to act like a child so he can have sex with a child.
This is very...
Yeah. Now, I realize this is not illegal. And, you know, whatever you're into, I guess, is cool. But this might be a step too far. And when I listen... This might be one rung down on the ladder. And when I listened back to that episode, it is just as bad as you think it is. It is really bad. And we struggled for like 22 minutes of that video. And just like minute number 10, you and I are both like, this is never going to run. Why are we even doing this? I think you said, Brian, I can't take this anymore. And I was like, no, just a couple more minutes. We're going to get through it. And you just clammed up. You were like, I'm not going to say anything else.
No.
Hey, everybody. It's that time in the commercial break for Commercial Break. It's the first episode of season number 3, and Chrissy and I are very grateful you decided to tune in. You can go to tcbpodcast.com for more information on Chrissy and I, get your free collectibles sticker, find all the videos, listen to all the audio, and connect with us on all the social media right from tcbpodcast.com. If you want to follow us on Instagram, it's at The Commercial Break. If you would like to subscribe to our YouTube channel where we do content you cannot find anywhere else, go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Subscribe and like your favorite videos. Please comment wherever you can. 661 best to yo. That's 661-237-8296 if you'd like to text us or leave us a voice message. You can tell us about content ideas you have. You can tell us what a good job we're doing. You can tell us what a horrible job we're doing. We accept it all at 661 best the number 2 and yo. Now there's going to be a short commercial break. If you're ever in the market for our sponsors, products, or services, please do us a favor and use their specialized URLs and codes. It certainly does help us. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the advertisements that we run on this show, we encourage you to text us at 661-237-8296. We want to hear your feedback. Let us know how you feel. Also, if you have a moment in your day, please leave us a review and or a comment on your favorite podcast publisher. It really does help grow the show. And as a TCB fan, we certainly would appreciate it. And now, a word from our sponsors. Okay, TCB stoners, you asked for it, you got it. Our first cannabis sponsor of the commercial break. Our episode is sponsored in part by Freeze Pipe, and a huge shout out for sponsoring this episode. Smoking cannabis doesn't have to hurt, and for colder, bigger hits, you got to check out Freeze Pipe. Freeze Pipe makes a freezeable line of pipes, bubblers, bongs, and more. The secret is this freezeable glycerin chamber. You pop one of these chambers in your freezer for about an hour or so, and when you smoke, it passes through the icy chamber and it instantly cools your smoke by over 300 degrees. Check that out. The results will shock you and you'll notice bigger, smoother hits without the throat burn or intense coughing. Most people who use Freeze Pipe report way less coughing, but everyone reports that this is the smoothest bong rip they've ever taken. Smoking pot doesn't have to break the bank either. Stop overpaying for bongs that leave you with a dragon throat and come over to the icy side. If you're ready to take bigger hits without the chest or throat burn, go to freezepipe.com and use the code BREAK for 10% off your next order. That's freezepipe.com and use the code BREAK for 10% off anything in the store. Freeze Pipe, our first cannabis sponsor. I know I got a lot of fans out there who love to partake in many different states where it's legal and maybe a few where it's not. We want to thank Freeze Pipe. Go get that glycerin chamber. Make your smoke nice and cool. Make your bong hits nice and tasty. FreezePipe.com. Use the code BREAK for 10% off. All right, Freeze Pipe.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
What'd you do for New Year's?
Oh, I stayed in. You know, we were still recovering a little bit from Omicron.
Yeah.
And besides, it's kind of amateur night, you know, to
I agree
go
with
out.
You 100%.
So
it's amateur night.
We
now
stayed and watched Andy. Andy and
the
Anderson.
Two Andys?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
Andy got wasted.
Man, he took it a little too far, didn't
he? He did.
He was like, what is he talking? He was talking shit about that guy from Journey.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And the mayor and all kinds of people.
Well, the mayor's kind of a dum-dum, so I get that.
He's no longer the mayor anymore.
Oh, he's not? Oh, that's right. They have someone else. I get this pairing, and I see why it's interesting. And I've watched, I don't know, collectively an hour or two of this over the years.
Yeah.
I get why these two are interesting together. They're friends like you and I are.
Yes.
So the banter is easy back and forth.
They're taking shots.
Yeah. Andy Cohen is the wild one. Right,
yeah.
He's the
well,
kind
they get
of the,
Patti LaBelle involved too. I really like her.
Who, they get Patti LaBelle
virtual.
Involved.
Yeah, they do
Patti
like a
LaBelle?
Virtual thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know she was still alive.
Uh-huh.
What song did she sing?
She's fun.
Is there ever a song? Do you know a song that she sang?
Well, she's in a lot.
I called your bullshit, and you didn't. You were like, "Oh, she's in a lot." Yeah, which one? Name one Patti LaBelle song.
Let's see. Is it? Did you sing "We're Going Riding on a Freeway"?
Oh yeah, we're going
love
riding
in my pink Cadillac.
We're going riding on a freeway, making love in my pink Cadillac.
She's just fun.
She is. Anybody who sings a song about pink Cadillac and making love. I'm going to get into it. I had sex with an Avon girl. I mean, a Mary Kay girl.
Yeah, Mary it's Kay. Mary Kay. Get it right.
Is that the pink Cadillac?
Yes,
is that what they
Mary
do?
Mary Kay.
And she literally had a pink Cadillac. It was too cliche. Anyway, so.
That was really real. You did?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Kidding.
Yeah, you know, in the Cadillac, in
of
the pink Cadillac.
Of course, that
she
happened
was old.
To you.
When I was a teenager, yeah, not teenager. Maybe I was like 20 years old. I remember I told you I worked at like a string of Chili's.
Yes.
And so I worked at this Chili's and they had a position there called an expediter.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yep. Stand
at the window and they collect the food. Like if you go out with somebody and you, or one guy orders a chicken tender basket and the other one orders a shit yours burger or whatever they're selling at Chili's these days,
yeah.
You know, the blooming onion, the heart
that's
attack
Outback.
Onion, yeah, okay. Oh yeah, that's awesome blossom.
Oh, the awesome blossom,
man.
Yeah.
I've had so much awesome blossom in my life, I can't tell you. But anyway, we used to eat those things. They come back from the table and just eat them. We'd be like, oh, whatever.
After they came back?
Yeah. You'd take a peek at the people. You'd be like, oh, they're clean. Yeah. Whatever. We'd stick them up in like near the dishwasher and we'd just eat them all night long. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
But we were kids. We didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So the expediter would, if you ordered four separate things, there were certain stations that would make each thing. There was a different cook making, you know, one making salads and one making burgers. So this expediter would take the ticket, put it all together, put it on a tray and make sure that it went out to the table at the same time in the order in which it was ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this girl, let's call her Angela, right? Angela, at the time when I was 20, she was 32.
Okay.
Okay. And she only worked at nights as an odd job.
Uh-huh.
During the day.
Extra money.
Yeah, during the day, she was like I don't know, whatever the fuck she did, right? I'm not even sure at this point. She worked in an office somewhere.
Okay.
She was long, she was tall, she was lanky, she was like, you know, she's pretty attractive. I wouldn't say she was like super hot or anything, but she was pretty attractive.
Yeah.
But the second that I walked into this Chili's, she was like on my first shift. The second I walked into this Chili's, she was like already smacking my ass.
She was on you.
She was like a total pedophile, right? She was like smacking my ass and, you know, tickling my nuts. She was like, go get your awesome blossom. I was a little taken aback by her aggressiveness. But, you know.
But then
I learned she had a pink Cadillac. So I did her on the butt. So she, so over the next couple of weeks, she progressively puts the full court press on. And one day she's like, why not after you get off the shift, let me take you out for a drink. I wasn't 21 yet.
Ooh.
And I wasn't really a drinker at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure.
That changed later.
Yeah, that a little bit. So I went to the bar. And it was a big boy bar, you know, the bar that everybody talked about going to, but I didn't go to because I wasn't 21. She got me in there because she knew the bartender and the bouncer. We went, we had a good time. We go back to her house, but I'm still a little nervous about making love to an older woman because she's actually going to know what the fuck is going on.
Right.
She's going to know.
Experience.
That's right. She's going to know, you know, where the arousal department is. And I have no idea where the arousal department is. I'm 20.
You're guessing.
I'm at that age where I'm scared of pussy, right? So we go back to her house. I spend the night a couple times. Over the course of getting, she had a pool table and her own keg, like her own bar tap down the bottom. She lived with two other roommates and they actually had Samuel Adams beer
on tap.
And they knew the one of the guys that worked at Sam Adams, like the beer purveyors.
Yes.
And so they would get a fresh keg every week and he would come clean the lines. I was actually there one time when it happened. He's like, hey man, you want a beer? And I'm like, yeah, let me have a beer. I didn't even know what I was doing. Like sure, let me get a beer, whatever that is. So as we spend a little bit of time together, one night we go out, we get drunk, we go back to her house. And I was explaining to her at dinner how much my family loved Walt Disney World.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We go back to her house. We go down to her. I go down. She lived downstairs, I go downstairs and she goes to the kitchen. She goes, I'm going to be back in just a couple. Make yourself at home. Watch TV. I'm going to be back in just a couple minutes. I got a little work to do.
Oh.
30 minutes later, she comes back and she was like, what's your favorite hotel at Walt Disney World? And I'm like, oh, the Polynesian, right? No doubt.
Yeah. Polynesian. We stayed there.
I'm almost done with work. I just was curious. Oh, okay. I was just thinking about our conversation. I'm curious. Okay. She comes back 30 minutes after that, and she's like, let's go back to your house and get a change of clothes because we're going to Walt Disney World. And I was like, we're going to Walt Disney World. And she's like, we are going to Walt Disney World, and we're going right now. I'm taking you to Walt Disney World right now. Man. I just booked a room at the Polynesian. We got to check in. We can check in tonight. Let's go. It's only a 7-hour drive. And I'm like, holy
shit. She's taking her boy toy to Disney World.
She did. But I was so scared of having sex with this woman that 4 hours into the drive, I told her I needed to go. Back home.
What?
I was so scared of having sex with her. So scared. Because she was so aggressive as a suitor, you know, as someone who was like.
Yeah, she was taking charge.
She was way taking charge. And I had never been with anybody like that because I'm a fucking teenager. I don't know shit from Shinola about shit, right? I mean, making love on your dad's basement floor when you're 16 years old is one thing. It's a sloppy, unsophisticated mess. No one's getting off and everybody knows it. No one cares because you're just like, you're just trying to figure it out,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
But now this woman's 32. She knows what having sex is like. And I don't even know that my penis works properly in any vagina, let alone a woman who knows what a penis is supposed to feel
nervous.
Like. And I've had sex plenty, just not with people who know what they're doing.
Right.
That's why I seem so attractive. It's because I put on the charm offensive. And then give them the best half a second of their life.
Right.
And they're like, whatever. 4 hours into the drive, I'm like in my head. We smoked a little weed. I'm totally in my head. And I'm I got to have sex with her now. I got to have sex with her. There's no way I can't not have sex with her. She's taking me to Disney World. I've got to screw this woman like she's never been screwed before. And I don't know that I can do it. I don't think I can do it. So I start saying, you know, panic set in. So I'm just like, you know, I actually
have 4 hours in. So you drive
four hours in. And here's the crazy thing, is that because she was an expediter, she was like
I thought you were the expediter.
No, she was the expediter.
Oh.
She was the expediter slash like part-time manager.
Got it.
Right?
Yes.
So I start telling her, I'm like, listen, I actually have a shift tomorrow night, and it would be really irresponsible of me to not show up to that shift. Meanwhile, I had called out sick to Chili's. for any reason under the
anything,
sun.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. Sometimes I didn't even call in until the shift was halfway over. My tooth fell out. Mm-hmm. I got a bloody nose. My head stuck in someone's vagina. I mean, like, yes, I just called. I made every excuse. And so I start telling her, hey, listen, I got a shift tomorrow night. I think, and I got rent due. It's really irresponsible. No problem. I'll get you, how much is your rent? $7,000. She was like, I got you covered. All right, don't even worry about it. I got your rent. And she's like, that chili, I'm taking you off the schedule. Taking you off the schedule. Oh, I can do that. I'm part-time manager.
She had them in.
Yeah, I was trying everything. Chrissy, this went on for like an hour of the drive. And we could have probably gotten home a lot sooner had she just turned around when I asked her to. But it's
that's awkward.
Yes, it's okay. So now get home. She drives me home. She's upset. Things kind of go weird. As you can see, Blue, my dog, is still here, just in case anybody's wondering. She didn't die because of the pandemic or because of the holidays. Still here. She's barking. Still... Yeah. So we get home. She's upset.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah. Okay.
She went through all the trouble.
That's right. Fast forward 1 year and I have now moved to a different Chili's.
Okay.
I moved to a different Chili's and I am bartending. And I'm bartending and someone comes up to me and says, someone wants to see you in booth number whatever. I run over there, turn the corner, and it's her.
Oh.
It's Angela, right? And she's with a man. She's with a man, right?
A grown
and she's
man.
Like, hey, this is my fiance, David. And I'm like, oh, damn, nice to meet you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you want me to say, but hey, good to see you. Kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
Your fiance once took me to Disney World. I was 9. Yeah. She literally tried to get me to sleep with her by taking me to Disney World. That should tell you everything you need to know.
Okay.
So at the end of the night, she hangs back a little bit and like slips me her number. She goes, this is my new number. I am now bound and determined that I am going to set this situation straight, right? She's like, and she was like, I think we're breaking up. Yeah, here's my new number. So 2 weeks later, she called me at the Chili's. And I called her. She had broken up with her fiance.
Oh, wow.
I called her back.
That's
she literally pulled up in her pink Cadillac from Mary Kay.
She was doing well then.
Yeah, she was doing well. We went to the
slinging that
we went to the Overlook and we made love.
Okay.
She never called me again. Never once. Never once did she call me again.
Oh my God.
I think
after all that.
Well, I'm glad it happened on the pink Cadillac and not in Polynesian Resort.
Yes.
That would have been strange. How do you want me to get home? I don't know, but that's not a dick. I don't know what you call that. What is that thing?
Oh my God. Of course.
Andy, I get the whole thing.
Yes.
Right. But I have to say that the most entertaining thing that happened on New Year's Eve, without any doubt on television, had to have been Pete Davidson and Miley Cyrus. And I can't believe you missed this.
I meant to watch them, but then, you know, Jeff and I were dancing around and drinking champagne.
You don't flip the channels? You guys don't flip? You just keep it on one?
Well, I flipped it at one point. I think I went to like the New Year's Rockin' Eve or whatever. Was that,
okay.
That's the one with Ryan Seacrest.
That's Seacrest.
Yeah, I think I flipped over to his for a little while, but
yeah,
it didn't interest me, so I went back.
There could not be two more diametrically opposed.
So it was Pete Davidson and
Miley Davidson, Cyrus? Miley Cyrus,
really?
A bunch of musicians, yeah. A couple of comedy bits. Pete Davidson looking uncomfortable and strange.
He looks like Beetlejuice.
Miley Cyrus without a top on. He does look like Beetlejuice. He's got like those big bug eyes. I saw the funniest meme the other day. It was like a guy looking under the bed with a flashlight. It's like... me looking for Pete Davidson after my wife leaves for work. He's all over the place, that guy. Good for him. He's on a run. He's on an epic run.
He is on a run.
Like no man I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Since like, you know, I don't know. Who's one of those old guys who, what was that guy's name? Dick Tracy guy. Not Dustin Hoffman.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty. Yeah. Warren Beatty was a notable cocksman too.
He got around.
Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson put on probably the most entertaining New Year's Eve
I like Miley.
I like Miley a lot. And you know what, Pete? You know, for as strange as he is,
he just
stood there and bent. He was strange. He added to the flavor of the whole situation.
Okay.
But Miley lost her top at least 3 times, which is, you know, that's just Miley.
Oh, that's
who amongst us hasn't seen Miley Cyrus naked?
Yeah, we've seen
that. And I got to say, it's kind of sexy. Like, Miley Cyrus is not the most conventionally good-looking woman in the world. She doesn't have, that conventional, like, model, symmetric face kind of look about her. She's not Jen Anderson, Jennifer
Aniston.
Aniston, like the girl next door look.
Right.
She's got a very unique look.
Yeah.
She's sexy as fuck.
Yeah, she is.
Because she like is 100% in control of
it's
her.
It's confidence.
Her, yeah. Her confidence, her body, her voice. She knows what to do. She knows what to say. She's not letting anybody get in her way.
No.
And that to me is sexy as hell.
I agree. Confidence is a big sexiness booster.
When you lose your top on national TV and you say,
go, whoops.
And then you go, well, that's the most dressed I've ever been on television. Like, I mean, that's what she said. It is just sexy as fuck. And I like Miley. And I will tell you, NBC will never again put this show on. Never. It will never happen because it was way too ruckus and raunchy, right? But it was so much fun. And you flip back over to Seacrest, who's doing the same fucking snooze fest that he's been doing for 27 years.
That's why I tried not to go back to that then.
I was like, you know what the problem is? You know what the problem is, I think, with Seacrest? Is that Seacrest got in bed with, I don't know, might have literally gotten in bed with Dick Clark way back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? When Dick Clark was doing the New Year's Eve. For those of you that don't know.
Rockin' Eve.
Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. For those of you that don't know, it's really Dick Clark who started this broadcast television doing 4 hours, you know, from whatever, from 10 until, you know, 1 a.m. doing this kind of party in Times Square, watching the ball drop. It was a Dick Clark production. Mm-hmm. And he did it because he had a show called American Bandstand.
Yes.
Where he would break bands. This is the thing that all the teenagers, everybody watched every week, once a week. Dick Clark would come on Saturday nights and he would do American Bandstand.
Yeah.
And the most popular bands are going to be popular bands. He was kind of like a kingmaker.
Mm-hmm.
He would bring the bands on. They would be on American Bandstand, Beach Boy, whoever. You can, Madonna, Pointer Sisters, Madonna.
Yeah, a lot of people.
But then Dick Clark had a bunch of other television shows because he had a production company, and one of them was this New Year's Rockin' Eve. Seacrest, who's kind of like this guy who's just fallen upward.
He has.
It's just unbelievable. Now, I'm not, Seacrest, good for you. I don't want to argue with anybody else's money, right?
I guess he's just a really hard worker, but yeah, he really got into everything.
Yeah, Dick Clark's pants or something. I'm not sure.
He started the Kardashians.
He did.
He's done so much.
So he gets in bed with Dick Clark, and eventually he bought into Dick Clark Productions.
Yes.
And eventually he bought all of Dick Clark Productions after, maybe Dick Clark's family still owns some of it, but after Dick died, Ryan Seacrest got passed the torch a number of years ago for this New Year's Rockin' Eve. I think the problem is that Seacrest probably feels, first of all, he's older, right, than Miley Cyrus or Pete Davidson. So he's never been a particularly like edgy kind of guy. He's never done anything edgy, except the Kardashians is not edgy in a traditional sense. It's just a shit show that they put on television.
Yeah.
I think Ryan feels beholden to the way that Dick used to do it. This is an institution. We need to do it this way every year.
Go very vanilla.
Put on the musicians, have a few crowd interactions, watch the ball drop, make my $15 million, get the hell home, right? By the way, I watch that Kelly and Ryan sometimes in the morning. There is no one on earth who is phoning it in more than fucking Ryan and Kelly. They hate each other.
Do they?
They hate each other.
I thought they were really friends.
Chrissy, we're really friends, okay? These two might be friends, but they hate each other on air.
Okay.
They when one, you know.
I never watch it.
First of all, Ryan's like, Kelly, shut the fuck up. Kelly's like, she's turning into like a Xanax mom or something. I don't know. She's like this older lady now who's kind of wing bat, you know, dingbat kind of girl who just says these totally crazy things. And Ryan's in his house, like, he's always sleeping. He's always reading the news while she's talking.
Oh,
he's always reading papers.
He's not paying attention.
You can tell he does no show prep whatsoever. People come on. He's got a piece of paper, and he'll literally say, it says right here, Jennifer Aniston, that you were on Friends. Can you tell us more about that? What was that like? Jennifer Aniston's like, what are you talking about? Says right here, Mr. Obama, that you once were the president. How'd that happen? Like, Ryan, come on, man. Put your heart into it. Give it something. Give it like some oomph or something. But he doesn't. He hates when Kelly talks, and he doesn't give a shit about what happens. He is phoning everything. Remember the time he fell asleep in American Idol? Do you remember that time?
No.
He fell asleep in American Idol. Some people thought he had a stroke. One of his eyes literally went in the back of his head, and people were like pointing it out. They were like,
okay?
Is Ryan okay? Yes, he's okay. He's taking his Xanax. He needs a nap. He took like 3 weeks off after that. The Fox made him take like 3 weeks off after that because they were like, man, we can't have you fucking nodding out from heroin or whatever you're doing here on live television.
Whatever you're doing, don't do it here.
Ryan hates his life. He can't fucking get a girlfriend. He's got to show up at these shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's always working. He's got no time for anything else. And then he's got to do Dick Clark's fucking rocking New Year's Eve. He's probably
it's not rocking.
Well, oh, it's Dick, whatever. What is it called? Ryan Seacrest. Who cares?
I'm saying it's not rocking. It is called the Rockin' Eve, but it's not very rocking.
Please, it's not rocking at all.
I guess they have bands play.
They had Journey. That's who they had. They had Journey. Everybody had Journey. Oprah had Journey. Oprah. Dr. Phil had Journey. Ryan, Dr. Phil. You couldn't get like, you know, Little Snizza or whatever. You couldn't get somebody to show up that had some relevance in today's society. But he can't because the people who watch Dick Clark are still fucking watching Ryan Seacrest. And he knows that. And he's got to go, well, in the 70s, that's about as far as we can get. We can bring it up to the 70s. Every year he's like, all right, we can go to 72, 73. Because he doesn't want those people to leave, and he's got to have some ratings. This is why Ryan Seacrest's rockin' cockin' fucking New Year's Eve will always be a total snooze fest. That's right. And I hope if NBC is smart, this thing was produced by Lauren Michaels.
Okay.
If NBC is smart, they will let happen what has always happened with NBC. Let Lauren Michaels do what the fuck Lauren Michaels wants
let
to
him.
Do.
Yeah.
He should be running that network. Everything he touches is gold.
It is.
Saturday Night Live is one of the most boring casts I've seen in years. Now, we always say this about the new cast, right? But it's one of the most boring casts I've seen in years. And they're still getting fucking ratings out the wazoo. And they got a billion YouTube views. You want to know why? It's because every once in a blue moon, Miley Cyrus comes, drops her top, and says something funny. That's what happens. And Pete Davidson shows up and he's like a rock star because he's fucking everything hot on earth. Okay?
Yes.
I'm telling you, let Lauren Michaels do what he wants to do and keep that New Year's Eve special with Miley Cyrus. It was so fucking good.
I mean, I'll watch it now. Bring it back.
Yeah. Listen, I know that Andy and Andy are tailoring into a certain crowd. I think they're funny too. I like it. I understand. I get it. I get why those two together seems like an interesting pairing. But it's no longer fresh and new, right?
Yeah.
They're just like Andy's grasping at things to say that are going to be controversial and interesting. Like Journey's not Journey without Steve Perry. That is true. Steve Perry was the original, but the new guy
sounds almost exactly like him.
Sounds better than the old guy. Quite frankly, the new guy left.
Yeah.
So you know what? The new guy left. The old guy's here. I mean, the old guy left. The new guy's here. He sounds great.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, Andy. And then it was a news story. Why was that a news story? Why do people fucking care what Andy Cohen has to say about Journey?
I don't know.
Slow news day.
No. Apparently, though, people were like Twittering, doing the tweets, and doing like made up names as it was scrolling across.
Yes.
That was pretty funny.
Well, the thing that they were getting at, Andy, was is that he actually follows the Grateful Dead. He's like a deadhead.
Yeah, he is.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's a deadhead. Meanwhile, half that band has been dead for years, and they just keep on finding new people. I mean, John Mayer is the new Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
So him saying that it's not Journey without the original singer is just stupid. But you know what?
Well, cheers to 2022.
Cheers to 2022.
Happy New Year.
You know what? We just spent a half an hour talking about what we watched on TV on New Year's night. That tells you all you need to know about the commercial break. Welcome back, guys. I just told you what you missed while you were out getting laid, doing drugs, and having fun. In case you wonder what your parents were doing, I just told you. Oh, my God. I've officially turned into a shithead. Listen to me. I sound like your neighbor. I sound like a neighbor. Oh, did you realize that? We just turned old, Goldie.
We did.
But that's okay.
I'm thinking of it as wiser.
Wiser, maybe.
I've done the New Year's parties. They're pretty fun.
Yeah.
But I'd rather stay at home.
Rather not throw up in my shoe.
Yeah, I have done that.
Better yet, I'd rather not have you throw up in my shoe.
I have done that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay.
All right.
That felt good. New studio.
Yes.
Here we are. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Every Tuesday and Friday, you're going to get new episodes. Go to tcbpodcast.com. Find out more about Christy and I. Watch all the videos. Listen to all the audio. You can send us a message. Get your free sticker. Find us on social media, all right there, at The Commercial Break on Instagram, youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Our goal this year is to get you to watch and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's why we've spent a ton of time, money, and energy to get this studio up and rocking with different camera angles. There's Chrissy in the dark. There's Brian kind of in the dark. Yeah, hey.
When I smile, you can see my
teeth. Right. We'll get... it does. It looks weird. We'll get all that shit fixed. Everything is brand new in season three. We're going at it different in season three. And if you're good and if you're nice, we'll give you additional content on the YouTube channel /The Commercial Break every single week. And if you're good and if you're nice, we just may give you some additional content on the regular podcast. So stay tuned. Lots of great things coming for season number three. Guests, content, games. We're going to have Man on the Street interviews. Will the Champ is going to go in New York, and he's going to do some on the street stuff with us.
I love it.
Yes, Tina's going to be back with some brand new content ideas. And we know that we have a letter from Roxanne.
Yes, Roxanne Reagan.
Roxanne Reagan, we know we have a letter from you, and we'll open it up on the next episode. We just wanted to get back and ride the bike a little bit, if you know what I mean, before we start getting into it. But we thank everybody who sent us messages over the break. We love you. Keep on going. And thanks for all the people who are leaving new Apple Podcast reviews. That's wonderful.
They're amazing.
I love having my balls sucked on a review. That's amazing. Review us on your favorite podcast publisher. It really does help. And make sure you subscribe on the YouTube channel, because it also really does help. So I think that's all we can do for today.
All right.
That felt
I think
good.
So.
Yeah. We're here.
Yeah. It's a muscle.
Yeah. It's a little muscle. We got to work it back into it.
Yeah.
We have never taken a month off this show ever. No. We've never taken more than a week and a half off.
Yeah.
So this is a long time. It's going to take us a minute to get back into it. I promise you in season number three, you'll get that second Frankie B episode, because Chrissy, he took it all down.
I know.
It all went away. All the dating content, unless it's like 3 years old, all the dating content, new dating content went away. But luckily, I saved the video before he deleted it.
Ooh.
So you'll get that second Frankie B episode if you're looking for it. It's coming your way. So I say this. I love you.
I love you, Brian.
I love you out there in the podcast universe. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, we always say, we must say, and we do say,
bye!
The Commercial Break. New episodes on Tuesdays and now Fridays. New YouTube clips drop daily at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Visit tcbpodcast.com for access to our entire media library. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Each episode is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley, with additional content provided by Tina Conard.